Everybody, lovely to see everybody, and especially a warm welcome to Alistair Ness, our visitor from Mission Aviation Fellowship this morning, flown in from deepest, darkest Leeds or somewhere. And, anyway, so we look forward to hearing what God has to say through him about that fantastic work that we do support individually anyway within the church, and it's fantastic, and I'm sure we'll be really encouraged and built up by what Alistair has to share with us. Sorry to build you up, and I mean, I hope it's not. So, anyway, as usual, this service will include songs and prayers and readings, and of course, a message as well. And tea and coffee will be served after the service, so please, soft drinks and maybe even a biscuit or two as well. So please hang around afterwards and have a chat with people and enjoy some fellowship. One word of warning this afternoon. Don't go for an afternoon nap, because about 3 o'clock, every single phone in the land apparently will go beep, beep, beep or something. The government are doing an emergency alert practice, I understand. I hope so anyway. So anyway, just to let, if you hadn't already picked up on that, 3 o'clock this afternoon, every phone will make a lot of noise, so just to be warned there. Talking of phones, just a reminder that as our recent minister, Alistair, as opposed to Alastair, so it's a bit call sign confusion, as we used to say in the trade as an air traffic controller, the phone that you probably have contacted him on for the last 15 years has now come to me. So the phone number that you can still contact him, and he's very happy for people to do so, but he has his own private phone number. And to be perfectly frank with you, I didn't know myself till last week anyway what it was, so because he always did it through the church. There's a church phone, but anyway, it is a, so just check that you've got the right number for him. It was in the newsletter last week, and if there's any doubt, please come to see me or one of the other leaders, and we'll give you his new contact details. But he'd be delighted to hear from people, but I'm sure that it just cuts out the middleman, i.e. me, if you talk to him directly. Right, also, the newsletter now has passed over to Andrea to edit it and compile it and things. So if you have any items for the newsletter, please contact Andrea as well, so that way. Right, tomorrow lunchtime, for those of us that have been around an awful long time, there's a visit from Ian Higginbotham. At Oasis at 1 p.m. for some lunch. I think he's there from about 12:30-ish. But everybody who knows who knew him is very welcome. But I mean, we're talking best part of 30 years ago when he left. So it'll be great to catch up onto him. But if you hadn't heard again about that, or been invited, please come along and join us. Also, next Sunday after the service, there will be a walk at, well, I guess, weather permitting, at Titterswell Reservoir. If you're interested, please see George, and he will furnish you with the details, directions, etc. The only other thing I want to mention at the moment is there's the quarterly church meeting. It's on Monday the 29th of September in Oasis at 7:30. So, again, it's in the newsletters and things, but please, if it's not in your diaries and you're a member, please, or if you're not a member, it doesn't matter, you still come along. Please come and join us and hear a lot about what's going on in the church, especially at the moment when things are sort of changing a little bit. So it's just good to talk to everybody and to keep everybody in the loop as to how the procedure's going. I think that's it. Anybody else got any notices they want to share? Nope? Okay, fine. Right, I'll just open the service in prayer then. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for this time. We thank you and praise you for this place. We thank you for the relationship we have with this school, how generous and they are to us, Lord. And pray we are equally a blessing to them. Father, thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for your promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there among us. And there's more than that here this morning, so we know you are here. Again, may your spirit just move among us this morning. May our hearts be open to you, to what you have for us through all the perhaps the songs, the prayers, the message, whatever it may be, Lord. We just pray that you would just minister to each of us individually according to our needs. And may our praise and our worship be acceptable and honouring to you. And we ask all these things for your glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you're able, please stand. If you're not, sit down. That's fine. We're going to sing the Light of the World and Here I Am to Worship, which is a good opening hymn, I think. So if you say, we'll just stand and sing if we can. Okay. Right, I'm now going to introduce Alistair, who'll come across and share something with yourselves.
Thank you. Well, everyone, it is a pleasure to be here this morning to share with you a bit about who MAF are, what we do, and more importantly, why we do it. We're going to hear a bit more about that later, especially for the adults, but for now, I wanted to do something that included everyone. Now, I will warn you, this includes audience participation, and if no one volunteers, I will pick on you. Okay, I don't have to come back next week, so I can be nasty and it's fine. What I'm going to demonstrate is a little bit about who and what flies on our aeroplanes, because it's not just people that we carry with us when we take people flying. So we're going to set up a little aeroplane in here. We're going to have a full crew. Well, we'll have a pilot and a captain. We'll have the different passengers of everyone who's going to be on board. And hopefully that will give you an idea of what MAF are and who we are. So first, we need a captain. Who's going to be the captain of our aeroplane? I'm looking at younger people first, only because they're the most likely to volunteer. You're looking very keen. I do have uniform for you. Does that make it more interesting? No. Oh, it's the best part of flying. You're volunteering your brother. Ah, does he know you're volunteering him yet? No. He's reading a book. I'm going to choose someone. Look, I'll show you. I do have uniform, I promise. Look. Bags disappearing underneath you. I've got a tie. It's a clip-on tie because we don't trust pilots to tie ties properly. I can say that, I am a pilot. Stripes go on your shoulder because we need to know what rank you are and how important you are. Look, this makes you very important. Go on. Do you know the best pilots out there are lady pilots as well, I promise you. How about your mum instead? Go on then, there we go. I said I would pick on you. Clip on tight. Now, would you believe this? I did this presentation in a church. This young lad came up to me, he was about 12, 13, and he said to me, how do I put it on? I said, it's a clip, mate. Like. Just goes over the top of your collar and clip it on. This, of course, is how we do it in the real world as well. We use sellotape to tie the put the stripes in our shoulder. I did have lovely paper tape in my bag. My kids nicked it. And hunting the house this morning, the best my daughter could produce was like regular plastic sellotape. So, yes, there we go. I'm going to make you captain for the morning. Four stripes for captain. One. Where's the end of the tape? Yeah, this is probably quicker than I get dressed in the morning in the dark. But oh dear. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, you got it. Oh, I've done it. There we go. Thank you. We would have done that. Oh, thankfully, that's the only part of this whole thing that needs tape. Good. Got past that difficult bit. There we go. We've got our captain. Wonderful. Fabulous. So, what is flying on our captain's aeroplane? Well, we are known in the industry, we are known worldwide for being the people who carry people who are sick. That's what we're most known for, I suppose. So, would anyone like to volunteer to break their arm for me this morning? Don't worry, I'm not going to volunteer you and then break your arm. That means you don't even need to. I don't need to break your arm then, do I? Which means I don't need to try and show people how badly I tie a sling, which is even better. Do you want to stay where you are? Do you want to come up to the front? There we go. Wonderful. So we do carry people who are sick and infirm. That one of the type of flying that we do is called medical evacuation flights, where we can take people as like an airborne ambulance and carry them to the medical help that they need. Now, of course, if we're carrying somebody who's sick, we need someone to care for them as well. So we will obviously carry a doctor. Is anyone a doctor in a former life or a present life or a future life? God, who wants to be a doctor? Would you like to be a doctor? No. Are you going to do medicine? No. God, do you want to be a nurse? It's only a first aid kit. You are just going to hold a first aid kit. That's all you're going to do. I'm going to start picking on someone soon. It's going to be anyone under the age of 95 that I pick on. There we go. I found someone. Thank you. Lovely. So we carry doctors, we carry nurses, because it's a good way of being able to get medicine out somewhere really fast and really easily, especially where roads are difficult. Now, we don't just carry doctors. We carry other types of people as well. We carry engineers. Who's an engineer or a mechanic or an architect will do? You've been pointed out, sir, by the gentleman sat behind you. What's your profession, sir? Yes, you, sir. A business consultant. That's close enough. That'll do. Some tools just to demonstrate the fact. Oh, and safety first, of course. I have safety glasses too. Health and safety first, of course. But we carry engineers. We carry engineers who might build schools. We carry engineers who might dig water wells for sanitation, you know, helping to provide clean water supplies. All sorts of reasons we may carry engineers. If we've built a school, it follows, therefore, that we carry teachers. Anyone a teacher? Who's a teacher? There we go. That hand went up very fast. The only hand that's gone up so far as well. You know, notice the teacher, always a teacher. What did you teach?
Languages.
So would an astronomy textbook help? There we go. There we go. We carry teachers. We also carry children on their way to school as well. How exciting would that be to be able to fly to school every day? Oh, be the children going to school. There we go. Fabulous. Never had that part of the demo before. You get the idea. There we go. So we've carried a load of people. Oh, no, sorry, I missed one, of course. We are a Christian organisation. I've got tape on my feet. We're a Christian organisation. We carry missionaries as well. Anyone want to just to carry? I've got a Gideon's New Testament Psalms. There we go. I think this is the one that I was given in my first year of secondary school. There we go. So we do carry. We carry missionaries as well because we want people to hear of the Word of God. Right, so we've done the people that might be on an aeroplane, but we also have a cargo hold underneath, don't we? So I need someone to come and load my cargo hold. Gosh, all this stuff covered in tape now. Never mind. Who would like to put on a Hi-Vis jacket to start loading the cargo hold of my aeroplane? I will pick on... you looked at me. Yes. You know, it's like an auction, you know, if you twitch your nose or something. Now you are advertising an airline there. Other airlines are available, but there's only so many Hi-Vis jackets I have at home. So, anyway, if you're going to load my cargo hold, you need some cargo to put in the cargo hold, don't you? So we talked about the fact that we've got an engineer on board, so he needs some supplies. I mean, I couldn't put much in the car, so that's limited supplies. But we're going to load our cargo hold with some materials. We might carry food, whether it's taking animals to market for farmers or whether it's bringing food in. There is a project that we work with alongside Tier Fund, which is called the Plumpy Nut Project. Plumpy Nuts it's a small sachet about this size. It's about the size of a tomato ketchup sachet when you go to McDonald's or whatever. And inside that is a small paste, and it's made out of peanuts. But that sachet is enough nutrition for a child for a day if they're in extreme famine. It's better than having nothing at all. But because these sachets are so small, you can fit a lot of them on an aeroplane. So that's something we've been doing across Africa for a long time. Now, my daughter doesn't know that I've brought this today. It's a duck. Well done. My daughter doesn't come up with imaginative names for animals, so this is duck. But the reason I carry duck is, like I say, we might carry animals to market as well. So in our cargo hold go some animals for market as well. There we go. There is one last piece of cargo that we carry on an aeroplane. Every aeroplane carries one of these, at least one of them, sometimes many more. And this is God's Word. We carry God's Word everywhere with us, not just because we want to share God's Word, but because it's the reason why we fly. This is the sole reason why we want people to hear, to see God's love being actioned out with all the different physical ways that we help, but also so that they might hear of the love of God every day. We also carry lots of copies of the Bible, just in case people don't have them. Most of our aeroplanes have got a little toolbox on board, just like you might have under the cupboard, in the cupboard under the stairs at home. But this little toolbox inside is filled with lots of Bibles and sometimes little audio players that will play sound instead of being able to read in the Bible in the local language of where we're flying. So there's always a copy of God's word on board for those who might want it. But as you can see, it's not just people who are sick that we carry. We carry a lot of different things and different people. And I hope this demonstrates that a bit better. So thank you very much. Thank you. Ah, precious cargo. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, good. Ah, thank you. Brilliant. Oh, it's all right. Oh, yes. I'll need that later.
Thank you, Alistair. That was very, very interesting. I got to thinking about dressing up as a pilot. One of my birthday presents donkeys years ago was getting a, because I did flight simulation as well, getting a trip on a proper flight simulator. It was a Boeing 737, as it happens, with a full working cockpit. And it was good fun doing it, but one of the things you had to do was to actually put the uniform on. And obviously it was a generic uniform, and I'm not the biggest of blokes, but I mean, this was sort of an XXL one, I think. And I saw the photograph that was taken of me afterwards was looking as I had a big jacket on here. The cap was sort of over to one side. I mean, I just looked like I rolled out of the pub. I thought, if somebody saw me, you thought coming onto an airplane, and saw me in the flight deck. I'm like, so anyway, that's great. Thank you very much. That was brilliant. Right, we're now going to sing again. So if you can stand if you wish or sing. This is Amazing Grace. And we're all about God's goodness.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Ian, Mel and myself went down to the Big Church Festival down in Sussex. It's a big annual Christian music event. It's held in a fantastic country estate. It's down near Worthing, and it takes place now over 3 days. Funnily enough, actually, that last song was written by Phil Wickham, who's one of the headline acts, which is absolutely brilliant. But anyway, that's another story. Generally speaking, there were 8 different stages, all had a different vibe, mainly music, but there was one called the spoken word stage for poetry and readings and things, and another new podcast stage as well. But generally speaking, it was to do with music. It was also enhanced by a fly pass by the Red Arrows, actually, at one point as they were going along the coast, which was a bit of a bonus. All the tickets were sold out, but the actual capacity was 35,000 people. It's a huge estate, so it sounds a lot. I mean, it was quite busy, to be fair, but it was amazing. There was a big tented area with a campsite. I must admit, it looked a bit like a third world refugee camp at that point. I mean, there was not without the bad sanitation and things, so it wasn't quite so traumatic, but it was huge. But of those 35,000 people, according to the organisers, 20,000 of those were aged between 18 and 28. And there was a huge amount of younger teenage kids and families and things as well. So it was an incredible amount of youngsters there. It was amazing. The passion and enthusiasm for Jesus was really uplifting and inspiring, as I'm sure that Ian and Mel will testify. And it certainly goes against the popular belief that Christianity is a dying religion. Very much. It's young people are really getting into it. And every evening during the headline act's performance, there will be the equivalent of an altar call. And people were asked to sort of accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And every single evening, to signify this, it was after dark anyway, by lighting up the torches on your phone. And I mean, just literally, as far as the eye could see, there was thousands, wasn't there, of lights every evening. I mean, I'm not saying that every single one of them will come to know the Lord. It probably won't. But even if 10% do, that would be incredible for the kingdom. The other thing was that there was also, with the programme, was a magazine included called Premier Christianity. And one of the articles I found very interesting was entitled, "Nearly Half of Young People Believe in Jesus." What it was saying there, taking that as accurate, according to surveys, that one of which was by Youth for Christ, which is obviously a very good Christian youth organisation, it was that 67% of 11 to 18-year-olds said that they believe in a higher power, and that church attendance actually amongst young people has doubled. From 2020, it was 4%. Now it's in 25, it was 8%. So even though it's still relatively small numbers, I mean, it's 100% increase in quite a short space of time. 52% also identified as being Christian, and 35% said that they were followers of Jesus. So, which is quite amazing. Also, it said that 1 in 3 young people said that they were open to learning more about God if they were invited. So you've got to tell them. I'm not sure where they got the figures from, really, but it's clear that this probably is one of the most spiritually receptive generations in decades, even if at the moment, perhaps it may be more obvious in larger cities rather than sort of smaller provincial towns like here. But I mean, we've seen as well, even with our Urban Saints stroke Energize, was that from the last couple of years, it's really been no youngsters at all. And now there's about 20, on a regular basis. So there is a movement afoot, obviously. Be encouraged about that. Obviously, we have an important role to play. Obviously, prayer is the main thing. But obviously, again, perhaps maybe feel led to helping out as well. And I'm sure that if that's you, I'm sure that George and Howard would be delighted to hear from you to see what you can do to help. And the other thing is, as a church, we've been praying over the last couple of years about, because we are, hate to say it, but an ageing congregation, that more younger people, younger families come into the church, into the fellowship. And also, I suppose that as we're now starting at the beginning of the process to find a new minister, maybe that will be one of the attributes that we would look for as a church, was somebody who's who's really passionate about the youngsters and the community and integrating everything else. So anyway, so I'm saying, don't be negative, don't be downcast, and that really the signs are that God is moving in this land and in our town. So may we be at the forefront of that, I pray. Amen. Can I ask Ian to come up now and share some more really encouraging news that we learnt as well?
Thanks, Bernie. I just wanted to briefly tell you about something that really encouraged us. So Big Church Festival has a lot of partners that it works with to put on an event like this. Mission Aviation Fellowship were there, and it was great to go over and talk to them. There was actually a bloke there, a young guy from Northwich, so he travelled down to the south coast, and it was, you know, go all that way down and you meet someone from Northwich. It was great. So we had a good chat about MAF. But one of the key partners this year was Compassion UK. And Compassion UK we know about as a church because we sponsor 7 children around the world through Compassion. So they would do a kind of a talk most evenings. And certainly on 2 nights, there was a young woman called Julianne. And Julianne came from Africa. She was she had a very difficult childhood. I won't go into the details, but basically by the age of 8, she had no hope for her life. She wasn't in school. She couldn't access medical help. And she really thought no one loved her. And then her life changed because she became a sponsored child. And suddenly the money was available for her to get back into school, to get access to medical help. And as she grew up, she found a hope in Jesus. And there she was in front of 35,000 people talking about Jesus. It was absolutely, absolutely incredible. And she said that it was through the sponsorship program that she found hope. So that was amazing. They also ran an appeal each evening, asking for 500 new sponsors to link up with children in Ghana. And by the last evening, over 700 people had committed to that. So fantastic news. And what they were doing was, as they did the appeal, there were volunteers from Compassion wandering around talking to people. And a guy came over to us, I think his name was Alfred, and his story was that 30 years ago he'd been a sponsored child, and he just shared just how much it meant to him to have someone write to him and love him, and we were able to share what we do as a church here for Compassion. So I just wanted to give you a bit of encouragement that having a sponsored child really, really makes a difference. So please, as a fellowship, let's keep giving, let's keep writing for those sponsors who write, and most importantly, let's keep praying for our children that we sponsor. We sponsor 7 children through Compassion, and of course, 1 more through Open Doors as well. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. Yes, it was quite an eye-opener, quite an encouraging situation there. Anyway, right, so we're now going to have a time of worship. And during this, well, I'm going to read a psalm and then 2 songs. And in the second song, we'll be taking up the offering. And just to let you know that I don't think there's any other visitors apart from Alistair, but the bags are for the work of the church and the little box for the sponsored kids from Compassion that we've just spoken about as well. Don't feel obliged to put anything in it. It's for the people that regularly come to the church. And if people don't put in, well, a lot of people pay through the bank anyway, so it's not... it's there if you want to make use of it. But we do that in the second song. Anyway, I'm going to read Psalm 8. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swims the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So we'll stand if we can, or sit if you wish to, and sing, first of all, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And so the collection in the second song. Okay.
I'm the same.
Father, we thank you so much for your provision for us. Thank you for all the things that you give to us. And Lord, for all your blessings each day. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon these monies for the work of this church and for the lives of these young people and their families, Lord, that we've heard about already. Lord, may you just bless them and multiply them greatly. And Father, we do pray for our youngsters now as they leave us and go into their classes. Lord, we just pray that, again, you'd be with them, Lord. You just open their little eyes, and Lord, and be with the teachers too. Just may it be inspiring and a real time of blessing for each one. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And please sit down. Okay, we're just going to have a short time of prayer before we sort of move towards Alistair coming to speak to us and share with us. So anyway, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the good news that Brian received last week, Lord, and that his cancer is certainly under control, if not completely disappeared, Lord. We just thank you and bless you for that. Thank you for Val, Lord. Thank you for the progress that she's made following her operation. And also for Helen as well. And even though, Lord, she waits for her results, Lord, we just pray. We know, Lord, in Jesus' name that you've cured her. And Lord, we just pray that she will continue to know your peace and your comfort. Again, Lord, as a church, we have much to pray for, Lord, especially now as we have this pastoral vacancy. Lord, again, thank you for your provision for us. And thank you, Lord, for, again, the 15 or 16 years, Lord, that Alistair was with us, Lord, as our very steady and strong minister, Lord. I thank you for the blessing he was to us, and hopefully we were equally a blessing to him. And again, may you continue to bless him in his retirement and the changes that will be going on in his life and that of Eunice and Susie too, Lord. Again, may they just know you with them each day in their life as you take them into the next stage of their walk with you. And Father, again, we do pray for the work of MAF. Thank you so much for it. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to support it financially and prayerfully. And Lord, again, we just pray your blessing upon it, Lord. Thank you that for the inspiration it was. And thank you for the amazing difference, Lord, the difference that it makes in the lives of those people who it impacts upon. And Father, we also pray for Chris Yardy, Lord, who has an oncology appointment tomorrow morning. Lord, we just pray that you would go ahead of that time and just give wisdom to the people that he will be seeing, so that, Lord, that they can determine exactly what may need to be done. Again, Lord, we're just so aware of so many people within our fellowship needing from you. Pray for Ninette as she has her MRI this morning. Lord, again, may that have a positive result as possible. And Lord, we pray for Marna with her operation on Tuesday. Lord, again, may you just take away any anxiety she may have, Lord. May you just give her the peace that goes beyond all understanding. And may, again, this operation be a complete success. And we continue to remember Harold, Lord, and Jill, and Betty as well, Betty Sturck, Lord, and for Lou. And again, Lord, we just pray that you be with each one. And those who haven't mentioned, Lord, and I apologise for that, Lord, but you don't forget anybody. Lord, again, just we're so dependent upon you. And we pray, Lord, as that you will meet each one according to their need. So, Lord, we just bring all these good folks and these situations to you and pray that in each situation, may your will be done and may your kingdom come. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand and sing again. Jesus, we enthrone you. I'm now going to read the passage of which Alastair will be speaking about shortly, well, immediately after. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we know that God will add his blessing to that reading from his word. So if Alistair would like to come forward, I'll just pray for you, brother, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for the work of MAF. We thank you so much for the people that spend their own time going out and spreading the word of it. Thank you so much for Alistair, or thank you for his presence with us now. Thank you for the message you've laid upon his heart, and may our hearts be open to hear what you have to say to us through him. May the words of his mouth be your words, Lord, and not his. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Technology works. Fabulous. Thank you so much for inviting me here this morning. It is a great pleasure to be here to share a little bit about who MAF are, and more importantly, why we do it. Do keep Bibles open, please, at Ephesians chapter 2. I do think it is important that you can see that the words that I say to you are from God's word, and you can therefore ignore the bits that aren't. A brief introduction, because I didn't quite do that earlier. My name's Alistair, a different Alistair to the Alistair you may have had last Sunday. We spell it differently. Mine's correct. My father's Scottish, so I come from a Scottish brand of Alistair, which means I have D's and A's all over it, which is somewhat different. I've spent my entire life correcting people. It's great. Anyway, yes. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians written by Paul from prison in Rome. It's perhaps one of his more formal letters, and inside he describes the very essence of what it means to be a Christian and how being a Christian should shape our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about a particular fundamental aspect of Christian living, and that's life itself. MAF's tagline, you've probably seen, is flying for life. So I'd like to explore this morning what we mean by that. And I believe this letter gives an excellent explanation. And we'll come back to that shortly. But first, what does MAF do? Well, we've already seen a brief demonstration of the kind of things we carry on an aeroplane. We are known for being the people with the plane. We turn up just in time to airlift the Indonesian mother fighting for life mid-labour, or bring a doctor with a bag full of vaccines to sub-Saharan Africa, or land an amphibian aircraft on the Ganges Delta to rescue the family whose livelihood has been washed away. And this is MAF in one way. When a mother in one of the villages we serve is in mid-labour and in a difficult situation, with a single radio call, an aircraft can be summoned and or diverted in, and she can be on the way to the acute care that she desperately needs within a few hours. Compared to several days' walk that she'd have to make on her own through jungle or complex terrain or even across war zones, this could be the difference between both mother and baby surviving together or not at all. When the villages plagued with leprosy on the shores of Lake Chad were in desperate need of care, just not possible to the size of the lake and the scarcity of assistance, MAF can provide the access for a specialist doctor to be able to travel between each village and run many clinics in one day that will serve each local community. And in 2015, Cyclone Mahasan tore through the Ganges Delta. Many small communities were ripped apart. However, MAF's amphibian Cessna Caravan, the only aircraft registered in Bangladesh able to land on water, there was a German aid agency that were able to distribute resources directly to the communities that needed them and provide them with skills and opportunities to rebuild their own lives with sustainable programs to get them back on track. MAF has in excess of 1,900 destinations worldwide. That's 9 times more than British Airways. Every one of those serves at least one, and in many cases more than one, community who are otherwise completely separated from their nation's infrastructure. Working alongside over 1,500 different organisations of various different kinds means that every one of these communities can have improved access to the services they need to survive. I've heard it quoted that MAF could be referred to as the Good Samaritan's donkey. We bring the specialists, we bring the aid workers and the emergency transport. And this is very much one thing that we do. And through this, we're able to share and demonstrate the love that we as committed Christians have experienced from God. And that by providing these services, we're aiding and saving lives. There is a much deeper meaning to the phrase flying for life. Life is a precious thing. I realise that's somewhat stating the obvious. To the world outside, life is a true absolute. Everything revolves around it. We eat to support it, We exercise to prolong it. We have fun to enjoy it. We work to make use of it in various combinations of the above. Also, to the world outside, the opposite of life, the antonym, so to speak, is death. The other absolute. Death is it. Death is the end. Death is when everything's become nothing. Death is when life has ended. It's clear, therefore, that death is something to avoid. We do all that we can to prevent it. So when Math says we're flying for life, that's a bold statement. But Paul also makes a very bold statement at the start of Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead. I pressed the wrong button. You were dead. But do you think this means actually not breathing, ended, nothing? Not quite. He says, dead through your transgressions and sin in which you once lived. So he can't mean actually dead. He says that quite clearly. But Paul means it to have that same impact. That these folk were in a way a living dead. They were alive in terms of bodily function, but they were spiritually dead. So what was going on that made these folk dead? We read in these first few verses that they were dead because of the way they used to live. In other words, the way they lived was clearly not the way that God had intended. They were kind of enslaved in three different ways, which we can see in verses 2 and 3. They followed the ways of the world. That's all the secular influences in the world around them. They were drawn by the pleasures of their flesh and gratifying its desires. But also the devil kept them in captivity. The spirit of the devil worked through those who were disobedient. Paul says that sin is our death sentence. If you think back to Eden in Genesis, Adam and Eve were not to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or else they will surely die. Genesis chapter 3. And sure enough, when Adam and Eve had eaten that fruit, God expelled them from his presence. He ejected them from the garden, and he placed a seraph at the gate to make sure they couldn't get back in. He didn't smite them off the face of the earth and from existence, but he banished them from the paradise of Eden with all its plentiful fruit and the comfort and solace of God into a life of labor, of pain, trial, and danger. And of course, this led to eventual physical death, the eternal separation from God. This spiritual death is the same death we read of here in Ephesians. It's living a life outwith God's will. And we see examples here, following the ways of the world, the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which at the time was understood to be the dominion of all the evil spirits of the world. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts, deserving of wrath. So, pretty bad situation by all accounts. But before we grab a towel, just pat our brows dry and think, goodness, it's glad it's them and not us. Just spot the start of verse 3. Paul included himself, and therefore all of us, in that same sentence. All of us lived among them. So everyone was deserving of God's wrath. We can think of examples, can't we, from our lives where this is the case. We can name the times we thought, I shouldn't have done that. Or, I could help that person, but I shan't. Or, this is a bit wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. The time we do 80 on the motorway. We think bad thoughts about a colleague, talk about a friend behind their back. These are all the common small things that get picked up in sermons and Bible studies. But we know when the mirror's shone in our lives, this is us. We all have those secret sins we hide from others that we brush under the carpet and ignore or even try and justify. In other words, where we follow the ways of the world, gratify the cravings of our flesh, follow the desires of the thoughts of the world. A bit further on in Ephesians, Paul gives more examples. Chapter 4, falsehood and lies, lingering anger, grudge holding, stealing and entitlement complexes, unwholesome talk that tears down rather than builds up, bitterness, anger, brawling, slander, every kind of malice, impurity, greed, obscenity, drunkenness. And I'm sure we can add to this list a whole load of things. Jealousy, pride, dishonor, selfishness, bullying. The list kind of goes on. But these things put us in that position of being dead to our sins and transgressions. We're dead, we're ended, nothing. It's a pretty nasty thought, really. And if that wasn't bad enough, Paul says it's just our nature as humans. We were by nature children of wrath in verse 3. Another English translation of the Bible puts it as deserving of wrath. So not only do we find ourselves caught in sin, either by doing it or thinking it, but we're conditioned and naturally drawn to it because of the way that evil works in this world. But just to make this clear, this death isn't just a case of being weak or feeble, or upset or distressed at being without God. We can see in other parts of the Bible, the very force of life is found in God himself. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel found himself stood in a valley completely devoid of life, filled with the dried bones of the people of Israel. Yet, at hearing the word of God, those bones not only came together and resembled the humans they once were, but at the receipt of God's breath became living, breathing people once again. So this life, from which the Ephesians were dead, is far more than just waking up each morning and being biologically alive. It's the very reason for existence that we become dead to, due to our sin and transgression. But that is not what God wants for his people, for you, for me, for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We weren't created to wander off and be on the sharp end of an angry creator. He wants us to have life. And as you can read in John chapter 10, that's life in all its vibrant, beautiful, exciting, breathtaking, technicolor fullness. This is living life in the Eden that God had originally intended for us. We talked about the perfect rest. We sang about the perfect rest in the song we sang just before the children left. It's the pasture that Jesus speaks of in John chapter 10. So how do we do that if we're dead? It's not like we can just grab a spiritual defibrillator or take some spiritual antibiotics to cure us of this deathness. It's not an illness. It's our condition. It's our nature. We're just as helpless to recover our situation as the body of a man who's just passed. The answer is in Christ. If you see verse 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And let me just underline the poignancy of that but at the start of the sentence. It's where the hope starts. This is the recovery. This is the breath of God which brought those bones to life in Ezekiel chapter 37. It's found by grace in Christ. And as John records, Jesus himself as having said, only in Christ. However, notice Paul says there is not very much for us to do. It's not from our own inspiration in verse 8 or by our works from verse 9, but purely by God's love for his children. A love so strong and selfless, it's irrational by earthly standards. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said in chapter 5, "For whilst we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proved his love for us in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And I reckon he possibly wanted the Ephesians to hear the same thing. God isn't the God that the world outside tells us he is. Very much the opposite. Even though we were abhorrent to God, the object of his wrath, he chose to save us through Christ so that we could have life. In 2 Timothy, Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In his death, Jesus suffered for our sin, taking that punishment on himself, and by his resurrection showed ultimate triumph over sin and death, both physically and spiritually. Because Christ rose from the dead, we can be certain of being raised from death in sin to life in Christ. And this is life plus. We're not just to be put back on our feet, but we're raised up, seated with him in the heavenly realms, verse 6. This is more than being brought back to life, but being completely free from the bonds that were keeping us dead at the start of this chapter. From where God sits, he commands all authority. As a king, he sat on a throne and leading his kingdom. So to be seated with God is to be restored to the position designed for us back in Eden, in authority under God for all creation, and therefore in authority under God over the ways we used to live, the ways of the world, the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So sin will still trouble us. We will still be in battle with it. But we have authority in Christ over it. It no longer keeps us in the grave, and we are no longer dead. We are alive in Christ. Furthermore, we have this authority to keep the devil and his wicked ways behind us. When we feel like we're being defeated, we can turn to Christ for recovery. In fact, Paul says that we are rescued to enable us to do the good work set out for us at the end of verse 10. We've been remade in Christ, not because we've earned it, but as a gift of love from God, verse 8. Not through any of the things we have done personally, salvation is God's work, but we are able to do the good thing God wants of us, and that's to not be dead again. We are rescued from death, and we are alive. To boil it down to its simplest form, the passage which describes the very essence of being a Christian can be described in four words. You were, but God. You were dead, but God made you alive. And I believe that's a very exciting message. The thought that by faith in Christ I can defeat death and be alive in all its fullness is tremendous. And this is freely available to all who give their lives to him through no work of their own, but by faith in Christ alone. If sitting here today you are a Christian, then hear this. This is our gospel. This is our good news that we are excited about. All of us who call ourselves Christians acknowledge that we were dead because of our nature as sinners, and we deserved God's wrath. But because of his great love for his children, he saved us by grace, and we are alive because of Christ. And if you are a Christian here today, this is your gospel. Be excited by it. Be alive. You have life even though you were once spiritually dead. And this only by God's love for you. Christian, never forget who you or those around you this morning once were and who God has made you to be. Never forget this good news of God's mercy and grace towards us. So now, I hope that the words flying for life means something more to you. This life is what excites every pilot, every engineer, every station manager, every operations controller throughout the MAF network to carry on with the jobs they do. This in the hope that every passenger that we transport and every contact that we make through the flights we operate will be touched by this life and want to receive that life in its fullness. Of course, we are about rescuing those in a difficult medical situation or bringing in materials to build a fresh water well or helping a community after an earthquake. And whilst these are all the ways that MAF like to demonstrate God's love, we want those that we come into contact with know what life really is. MAF are excited by and driven by the "but God" that we've read here, the hope that comes from being alive in Christ. Jesus is about giving life, and we're about giving Jesus. Should that not be those good works that we've been called into? I would like to share with you a short video. It's the best way to see aeroplanes. This was taken a few years ago at the opening of an airstrip in Papua in Indonesia. In this video, we're introduced to some missionaries who've been working with New Tribes Mission in the village of Mokondoma, which is in the mountains of Papua, the most eastern province of Indonesia. We're also introduced to the people that they live with. And I'd like you to see the excitement they have at seeing the arrival of the first aircraft. But it is the message of one local gentleman at the end that I think is most thrilling to see. The translation of what he says appears underneath, and I acknowledge it does go past quite quick, so you have to read quickly. I haven't learnt this language yet, and I still haven't the foggiest idea, but the excitement that he has, I think, is the most thrilling bit, and I encourage you to watch that part.
Hi, we are Tim and Rebecca Ingles. We serve here in Papua, Indonesia with New Tribes Mission.
My name is Mike Wild, and I work among the Wano people. These are all my friends and the Wano tribe, and we're right now up in the hamlet of Mokondoma.
All right, today is one of those great days. We get to go in and open a brand new airstrip. They've been working on this strip for a couple years. The name of the place is Mokondoma, so we're looking forward to going in, making a first landing, and serving the new tribes missionaries there, the Ingalls and the Wild. So this is one of those awesome days for MAF.
Yeah, we've been working here with the Wano people for about 9 years now, and our goal here is to plant a church that can reach out and reach the rest of the Wano people. The people that actually at this site where we're at now had thought about building an airstrip and had started work maybe 10, 15 years ago, but had given up on that. And so we got that going, and over the past 2 years, the people have worked on this airstrip. We didn't do a lot of the work. It was the tribal people working with us, and we helped them a little bit with food to be able to work, but it was all our project here, and we worked together on it. 2 years of work to get this thing done, and to see the plane circling by the first time, it's just surreal. It's just like, it's happening, and he comes in and lands, and you just feel the emotions, you know? It's so cool to have an airplane land, touch ground.
Our main motivation for building this airstrip was so we'd have a way to take the gospel out from our area here, and we could take our teachers and our translated materials and take it out and do outreach.
Bogum ye kechago ye kechak na me an gwene nona wene no git kupiga diga
e kwere ko
kupik ba ne me puga gin din ne an ne no kok me git no yok be den gacha che pulu kom an ne mini wat kenira mini ne bogum din ora mini da tu ye chut ba ne mini an ne no ko na bodo kik ni wene gwe bogum din ora ye churat ye chut ba ne wenena bana yot ne garak an yok mini bana pangong gotik ne me bokoyum di nyom ambire kerak nit ne di bugadin ne bogum di wigan ya ko yak mono e kerak ne me mini nit yongwan chorak bana mini an no babi apik yok kicharak ne me
So hopefully you could read from that translation that gentleman there was very excited by the construction of the airfield. It was built for a reason, and that reason was to take his story of the mirror and shirt, his story of his salvation in Christ, to all the members of the tribe scattered across the area and beyond. If you want me to come back, I can show you the next video. Spoiler, they did that. The aeroplane, they set up a Bible teaching program, and they're able to take the aeroplane to the next village where their tribes people live, which might be 2-4 days walk away, but could be a 20-minute flight. And in a weekend, they can do a 3-day Bible course and come back again. And the next video demonstrates that fabulously. What I like, though, is his story demonstrates this idea of but God in a really simple way. And it's the excitement of his rescue burns so deeply within him that the arrival of the aircraft opens a new door for him to share that excitement. And that, I believe, is flying for life. Maybe some of what you've seen or heard today has touched your heart and you feel a calling to partner with MAF. And let me encourage you to do that. Of course, that's partly why I'm here. There are three ways that you can be a part of this ministry. Firstly, you can go. If you feel you could be a part of the MAF operation, then we have a long list of vacancies, both abroad and in the UK. You don't just have to be a pilot and fly aeroplanes, or an engineer, or even willing to go abroad. Jobs like I do, coming from church to church to share the mission, is all part of sharing within sharing what MAF does and being a part of going to go do that. Secondly, you can give. I have direct debit forms. There's a table here that's got a load of merchandise on it and a few books, the history book in particular, and one book that I brought with me here just to show you that I really quite am fond of. It's called Rooted, and it's a 30-day prayer journal with lots and lots of pictures in it, and they're all written by different MAF employees from around the network. But it's a very nicely made book. I'm not advertising it. Genuinely, I do think it's a very good book. That's called Rooted. There's a few copies of that there as well. But do come have a look. There is also a little red pot for any loose change if you happen to want to donate that way as well. All donations make a fabulous big difference. But finally, and most importantly, please pray for MAF. A lot of you already receive information from us through our magazine or whatever. But if you don't receive that, that is very much the best way that you can inform your prayers on what we do and who we're serving. On the table there are these little envelopes. MAF have designed them badly. If you turn them over on the back, there's a form that says they're able to give a financial gift. If you lift the flap, underneath there is this bit that says discovery. This section here is how to hear more about what we're doing. There are two tick boxes there. One is if you want to receive by post. The other is if you want to receive information by email. You can tick both of them as well. It is absolutely free. And I'm sure, as you would very definitely say, it's a good magazine, isn't it? It's full of stories of the places where we are, latest stories of the people that we're serving and the way that it's impacting their lives. You get a prayer guide that comes with that as well. So you have a prayer diary that can come with it, and you can do that amongst small groups or in a just at home on your own or whatever it is. Let me encourage you to do that. It's absolutely free, and it's a fantastic way to learn more about what we're doing. And this is the most valuable thing that you can do for us as well. If you do that, put your name and address on the front here. Detach the form, put it in the envelope, and pop that envelope in the Swiss Chalet post box. I'll collect them all in there. It's completely anonymous then, and I'll send them off to MAF in the morning when I fill out the paperwork for this meeting. There is information on there if you want to give a financial donation as well, especially if you want to do it by direct debit. I can also take credit card and debit card these days. This is the modern world we live in. Loads of ways you can donate. But the most important thing, please let me encourage you, take one of these envelopes, fill in your details, tick the box to receive our stories about the people that we're serving. That is definitely the most important thing you can do for us. Of course, I would love for you to be involved. Like I say, that's the reason I've come here today. But the word that we've shared this morning is about life. Whether this "but God" is carried to the ends of the world by our small aeroplanes, or it's taken to your neighbours, friends and colleagues tomorrow morning, discussed around the dinner table after the service, or even just pondered about in your own hearts, the message of Ephesians 2 is know who you are, rescued from death and reborn in Christ by grace. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you and praise and worship you for rescuing us from death. We thank you that your love for us was so deep that you rescued us even though we were dead sinners and brought us to an abundant life. Father, please excite us by this gospel, this good news, that because of Jesus we can be made alive and be set free from the things that were keeping us dead. Father, we pray for this message of life that MAF take with them on every flight, that every passenger and everyone touched by the services MAF enable will taste this life in all its fullness and want to know you. Father, we come to you as a broken people who are dead in our transgressions and by very nature sinners, but we rejoice that we have life in all its fullness. May we use it for your glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we're now going to sing our closing hymn for today. King of Kings. So if you're able, please do join me. Standing, let me just close with a Bible prayer. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.